This morning, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at two verses there this morning, verses 16 and verse 17 this morning. I've entitled this morning's message, That God Speaks and That We Can Also Trust His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verses 16 and 17. And if you will, please, in honor of God's Word, stand as we read His Word. If you're able to stand. Beginning verse 16, it says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 states that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this day. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Father, we just ask that as we gather here on this beautiful Sunday morning, Father, that you will speak to our hearts just as your word talks about. That you reveal to us, Father, the things that we need to know and to understand. And Father, we ask that as we are gathered here this morning and as we continue your service, Father, we pray that you will walk up and down the aisles of this sanctuary, Father, that you would walk through the pews of this sanctuary, Father, touching lives as you know they need to be touched. And Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your word this morning. Father, we ask that you bless this church, bless this church's ministries, Father, that they will continue for years and years to come. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And it's these things that we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, as we get into God's Word this morning, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. We may reference a few more scriptures this morning, but we're going to talk about God's Word and the God that speaks to us today. You know, the God who spoke to reveal Himself and His ways promised us a Savior, a promise He fulfilled through Jesus Christ. As we submit our lives to Christ in repentance and faith for salvation, we also submit to the authority of God's Word. We show our trust in God and His Word in three ways. One, we show it as a trust in His Word as we acknowledge that His Word is from Him. Two, we allow God to transform us, our lives by it, just as we spoke last Sunday night, as the Word transforms us. And thirdly, we serve in His mission as He equips us to live our lives for His glory. This morning, as we look at this scripture, I'm reminded in scripture, if you want to write it down, you can go back and look at it later, in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, it is talking about this man named Stephen. In that chapter, in chapter 6, they're appointing the deacons, and Stephen is one of these deacons that was appointed, and he was a very bold man. As the scripture states there in Acts chapter 6, it says that he was bold and he was wise, and they couldn't refute the wisdom that he had. So some of these guys got together that didn't like this about what Stephen was doing, and they began to talk amongst themselves, and they began to bring charges against Stephen that he was blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that he was talking about things that did not or was not going to happen. And as he's brought up on these charges, as it continues into chapter 7, Stephen gives this amazing message. He begins to recant the history of Scripture, the history of our God. And then as he gets ready to close that message, he looks at him and he says, And as you are stiff-necked men, in verse 51, he says, You have rejected Christ. And it was because of this they began to gnarl and gnash their teeth, as Scripture says, to rip off their clothes, and as they said, to lament what was going on. And then they brought Stephen and they began to stone him. And they began to throw his clothes at the feet of a man, and this man named Saul, who later became Paul, approved what was going on. And what's so ironic about all that is the man that was approving that is the man that wrote the scripture this morning. That God's word is breathed. It's amazing how God, and we talked about this last week, how God can transform a life, and we're not going to get too deep into that. But if we believers in Christ, then we need to let God's word change us. Stephen, God's word changed him, made him a bold man. We see the fruit of God's word coming through Stephen's life. He believes God's word. He allowed God's word to change him, and he proclaimed God's word boldly. We are true believers in Christ. We should believe that we should be different after our encounter with Christ. Just as Paul, as an enemy of the church, Paul, who was condoning this act of hate in one part of Scripture, and is now delivering God's word in another part of Scripture, that shows us the power of what God can do in a man's life, in a changed life. How God's word can change us. How God's word can change us. Let's get into our message this morning. As we look at this, the first thing that we have to understand as we look at chapter 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. As we look at the first part of verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We as believers in Christ, we have to acknowledge that first off that God's word is from Him. We have to realize that we can trust God's word to be true. If we can't acknowledge that God's word is true, then we can't acknowledge that God Himself is true. They're one and the same. Paul here in this scripture uses a word, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but I'm going to give it my best shot because I'm not good at pronouncing some of these words. It's theopneustos, and it's a Greek word that means God breathed or God exhaled. To describe the nature of Scripture, God's word, the word is, and here's another big word that I'm trying to include here, is a hapax legomenon. That sounds French, right? It's not. Sounds like something you order down in New Orleans, right? But what that means is it occurs only once in the entire Bible. When we hear about God's word is God breathed, we hear about that only one time in the Bible. I'll put it to you this way. This is the way I kind of understand things. I kind of understand I'm a simple guy. I like things to be simple. I understand it in this means. I'll share this with you. And it says, a person's breath carries their words, which convey their thoughts, feelings, and intentions. And when you speak, your breath brings your inner self out into the world for others to hear and understand. In the same way, the Bible is God's breath. His very words, His thoughts, His natures are breathed out into the pages of Scripture. So when we begin to speak and when we talk about things, the way that we speak, the way that we talk about things, the way we announce the way we're talking, enunciate the way we're talking, when we're going through all of these things, is bringing out everything that is within us, within our being. So how we deal with people, how we speak to people, is a big deal because it tells us a lot about ourselves. You know, you can talk to a dog and you can call him, hey, stupid, get over here. He kind of cowers down and walks over to you. Or you can say, hey, stupid, come here. Wags that tail. And he comes to you. Why? Because it's your tone. It reflects what you're saying and how you're saying it and how you feel about it. And that reacts, that you get the same reaction with people. You're talking to people and you holler at them and you fuss at them and things like that. They're not going to respond very well. So the idea behind this is that this means that the Bible is not just a collection of human ideas about God. It's God's direct, personal communication to us. It's living, it's active, and it's powerful because it's His very existence. A lot of people will try to tell you that the Bible is nothing more than just a collection of stories that were passed down from one generation to the next. And some people, that may be a good explanation to them. But that's not what God's Word is. It's alive. It's living. It's active. It's powerful. Just as a person's word can instruct, can correct, and can guide, so too does God's Word teach us what is true, show us what is right, show us our errors, and it corrects our behavior. God's Word is able to do all of those things. You can go and you can read passages in the Bible, and depending on the mood that you're in, depending on what's going on in your life, it will have one totally different meaning. And then the next time you read it, based upon how you are, it can bring a whole different meaning to you. It's our lifeline. It's our compass directly from our Creator. It's fully sufficient to equip us, to train us, and to teach us everything that we need to know and to understand. And it's because that God speaks to us. People will tell you today that God doesn't speak. He does. As we mentioned last week, God speaks to us. It's a still, small voice. It's through His Word. It's through situations in our lives. And yes, it can be even other people. But God's Word, He speaks to us today through that. We have to acknowledge that He does that. We have to also understand that just because God's Word is, it can do all of these things, is active, it is all this, we also have to understand that God's Word is eternal. And His Word stands forever. Isaiah chapter 40, you can write these down and go back to them later. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever." Things will change. Style changes. I was going through my closet the other day and I realized that I really need to update my wardrobe. My wife and my daughter told me you really need to update your wardrobe. I like suit coats and sport coats. I kind of like them long. I'm a big guy. I'm a tall guy. I kind of like it long. But, you know, I've got one on today that's a little different. It actually fits a little better than some of mine, and I have to admit to it, they're right, I do. We've been going through, when my son was going through some pictures for his senior year when he was in high school, and when we were going through pictures for my daughter for her senior year in high school, we were looking at some of these pictures from when they were little, and in the picture I had on a shirt that I was wearing the very time that we were looking at that. Things change. It's inevitable. Things are going to change. Styles change. Building designs change. Culture changes. God's Word does not. God's Word stays the same. It means the same. There's no black. There's no white. There's nothing in society today that says God's Word has to change to adapt what society is going through. No, it stays the same. A lot of things will change. God's Word doesn't. Let me illustrate it to you this way. There was once a man, he saved a newspaper. He had found a newspaper and he saved it because it was from the year that he was born. And every year on his birthday, he would go and he would get that paper and he would look at it. And he would see what was going on in the year that he was born. The price of gas, the top headlines, things of that nature, and he would do this every year. And at first, it fascinated him to see what all this was going on, but as time went on, you know what began to happen to that paper? It began to yellow. the wording on it was not as bright. The edges became brittle. Eventually, in order to preserve it, he had to place it inside of a plastic sheathing. You know, the documents that we have for the United States, the Declaration of Independence and all the documents that were created from that time period, they have to be preserved in compartments that are free from any kind of outside force so that it can survive. Otherwise, it would just crumble up and fade away. That's what this newspaper was doing. So he had to put it in this plastic sleeve and in order to preserve it and to keep it from crumbling. And one day he began to open his Bible and he began to look in his Bible. And the Bible that he had came from one of his grandfathers down the line, one of his great-great-grandfathers. And there was a note that was written in the margins of the Bible of where he made a note of something that was stated. And he noticed that in that Bible, from years and years and years ago, that note that was written, the ink was still crisp, still bright, still very legible. And more than importantly, the message that was contained there was still true. The page had not faded. The word remained fresh. It was alive. It was powerful. Here's what we can get out of that. Everything around us is going to fade. Our beauty, our strength, fame, if we've got it, it's eventually going to go away. Even the news that once captivated is going to go away. And by the way, I looked last night. I was going over this, just preparing a little bit more before today, and I got curious. So I went back to November 8th, 1969, the day I was born. And you know what some of the top headlines were? It's kind of odd. War, economy. Thank you. Open the headlines today, we see war and economy. It was talking about men landing on the moon back in July of that year. It's interesting to see what was going on. I even caught gas prices. I think gas prices were 10 cents a gallon. Kind of hurts when I paid $3 and something the other day a gallon. But it doesn't fade. God's word never fades. Secondly, God does not change, and His Word, we can understand, does not change. Because it comes from God, who Himself is truth. And we know if God is true, then the Word of God is true. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Baptist Faith and Message of 2000 states this, "The Holy Bible was written by men who were divinely influenced, and it is a perfect treasure of divine teaching. God is the author. It's truth without any mistakes. For these reasons, all Scripture is completely true." We can trust the God of the Word to be true because we can trust the Word of God to be true. The words of men, even those that claim divine status, when you think about men that claim divine status, you think of the Book of Mormons, you think of the Quran, those are just words of men. Those are just words of men. We can trust that God and therefore God's word is true because it comes from Him. It is God's breath. For every occurrence in our lives, big or small, positive or negative, there is no shortage of counsel to us. You can find it anywhere you want to go. television hosts, radio personalities, friends, family members, they can all weigh in, giving us their perspective of how things need to go or how what you should need to do. But God's Word is the only place that will tell you what is the true nature. I had a friend of mine years ago was struggling about a call to a church, and he wasn't sure whether or not he should go. It's not in the best place. It was not in the best town. But God was dealing with him, and he sought people around him that he could trust, that were good friends, that were good family members who never really steered him wrong in the past and told him, "You're crazy if you go there. You're absolutely nuts. That could ruin your ministry if you went there." And he prayed about it, and he prayed about it. And he eventually did exactly what God told him to do because he knew that he could trust what God's Word was telling him and what God was telling him because he'd never failed him. He went to that church, had a very successful ministry. Was amazed at what he was able to experience. And think if he had given that up because of what some well-meaning people mean. And if he'd listened to what they had said, he'd have missed out on a lot of things that God was wanting to do with him and through him. We have to trust that God's Word is true. We have to trust that God's Word is what we can count on. Secondly, this morning, as we look at verse 16, the second part of verse 16, it says that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We can see that God's Word transforms us. Just as Stephen, who was a devout man of God, who followed God greatly, was bold in his word, it changed him. We see it through Scripture what God's Word has done through men in the Bible, through Saul, who became Paul, through Abram, who became Abraham. All the things that God did for these people and what He did for them in transforming their lives, we can trust that God's Word will do the same for us. We can trust God's Word to affect our lives. Paul says that God's Word is not only trustworthy, but it's also profitable. What kind of profit does God's Word bring? Let me put it to you this way. Warren Wiersbe, he's one of my favorite writers, one of my favorite theologians, he puts it this way: God's Word is profitable for doctrine. What he means by that is it shows us what is right. It gives us that moral compass that we desperately need. He says that God's Word is for reproof. It shows us what is not right. When we struggle with the idea of what's right and what's wrong, God's Word will differentiate between those two and without any doubt allow you to understand exactly what God's Word and what needs to happen in our life through God's Word. Warren Wiersbe says that God's Word is for correction, how to get right. If you're lost, if you're struggling in your walk with Christ, God's Word is there to show you the path that you need to be on. He says God's Word is for instruction in righteousness, how we stay right. We want to know how our lives need to be and how we need to walk with Christ. God's Word is right here to tell us how we need to stay right with Him. The main thing is that we stay in it. That's the main thing. It's not just that part of Word's God is profitable. It's all of God's Word is profitable. When we think about what God's Word says to us, that it allows us to transform our lives, it allows us to do all of these things, we need to focus on everything that's in the Bible, not just parts. We tend to want to choose and pick and choose what God's Word says to us. We want to open the Bible and turn to a page. And I've seen people do this. What's God's Word saying to me? And they'll take their Bible and they'll put it down and they'll pop it open to a page. And then they'll take their fingers and they'll point down here. Okay, here's what God's Word is. That's dangerous, folks. That's dangerous. It's not that one part of God's Word is what we need to understand. It's not that we need to go and just have one verse that tells us everything that we need to do. It's every verse that's here in this Bible. It's every single verse. Thirdly, verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word prepares us for what? To serve God by being on mission. We can trust God's Word to prepare us for the mission that He has. Paul says that the Word of God brings about this profit in our lives and serves a purpose, and that purpose is to ensure that the man of God is both complete and equipped. Both of these words, complete and equipped, meaning lacking nothing that is needed, carry the idea of being prepared for service or for action. We're in an odd time in society right now where we're seeing a war take place across the globe, and you know, we used to not be able to do that, but we can see it unfold. But here's the deal: those guys, our armed services that are fighting that, they didn't wake up one morning and said, you know what, I think today we're going to go ahead and go do that attack. They've been preparing for this. How have they been preparing? From the moment that they entered the service and went through basic training, they began preparing. Everything they did prepared them for this time. Now, were they specifically preparing for this very mission? No. But they were preparing for this very time. How was that? Well, they come in and they all get the same haircut. Zip! It's gone. Took me 56 years to get mine, but you know. They get it cut off. They get put in the same clothes. Everybody's wearing the same uniform. Everybody's training the same. Everybody's eating the same food. Everybody's doing the same thing, same time. What does that do? That prepares you to be ready. Because you're not worried about what your hair looks like. You're not worried about the clothes you're wearing. You're not worried about what the food you eat. All that's taken care of. You're prepared for all of that. And then your training that you're going through, everything that you're doing is preparing you for the time that you actually have to go into battle. The things that we love to talk about here in the South, football. Football training right now. Spring training is going on. What's going on during spring training? Every one of those guys is preparing for the season that's coming. And they've got them out there doing reps and doing workouts and running routes and hitting the weight room. Everything. For what? Preparing for that first weekend in September. When the state of Alabama loses its mind. And we get into the time called football season. But they prepare. God's Word prepares you for the time of service. Now, when I came and gave my life to Christ in March of 92, I had no idea or no clue whatsoever of what God was going to do in my life. All I knew at that moment is that I needed to get my life right. And I had to do that. And then things began to take place. As I shared last week, a good friend of mine started me through a discipleship training program, did all of those things. My pastor began to do crazy things, wanting me to get up in front of everybody and talk to everybody. They gave me the opportunity to study God's Word through our discipleship training program, to show me how to read the Bible. Every bit of that was preparing for what? A life of service. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, God's Word has prepared you for a life of service. Yours may look a little different than mine. Yours may look a little different than what I'm doing up here this morning. You may be serving and praying for people. You may be serving through deacons. You may be serving through singing in the choir, leading the music. You may be serving as a missionary. Bottom line is, God's Word has been preparing you, as verse 17 says, that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped, not just partially equipped. God never says anything in His Word about being partial. He says thoroughly equipped for every good work. Didn't say some. It says every good work. Wearsby, as I stated, he's one of my favorites. He says this, the ultimate purpose of the Word of God is the equipping of the believers who read it. It is the Word of God that equips God's people to do the work of God. Have you simply been asking yourself this morning to teach me from the Word of God, or are you asking God to equip you by His Word? Two different things. Two different methods. You're simply reading, then you're just reading to say, hey, I did my Bible time today. Wisby's is talking about the fact that are you reading it to be equipped? There's a difference. One, you're just reading it because you think it's what you need to do. Secondly, the second option there is that you're reading it so that you know it. And that you're equipped to do whatever God is going to call you to do. This morning, if you've not been reading God's, if you've been just reading God's Word just to read it, and you're not reading it to be equipped, this morning I ask you that you would begin to change that philosophy a little bit. And start incorporating God's Word in your life in the means that it will equip you so that you can understand what God's Word is actually saying, understand the meaning of it, so that you can come to know Him as that personal Savior with such a sweet, sweet relationship that you are ready to go do whatever He asks you to do. Folks, this morning, God's Word equips us. God's Word prepares us. This morning I ask that you begin to allow God's Word to do that very thing in your life today. This morning as our musicians come forward, as we have our time of invitation, I ask this morning that if God has been speaking to you, if He is revealing something to you, if He is leading you in a direction that kind of gets you out of your, or not just kind of, but does get you out of your comfort zone, I ask you to take His hand and walk with Him. Because I tell you what, no matter what He puts you through, He's always there for you. He's prepared the way for you. All you need to do is walk with Him. This morning, will you do that?